It's wonderful to be here for the first time in this chapel, but this congregation has moved around a bit in the 17 years that I've been your bishop. And it's time for me to say that this is my last visitation among you. My successor, Mark Eddington, bishop-elect, is going to take over on April 6th. So I think that the next time you see a bishop, it will be him and not me. But it's been a wonderful 17 years. And the congregation that is St. Columban's is one that stands as our oldest of the mission congregations. And it just seems to go on in faith and hope and charity. And I believe it will continue in that way. So you are small but mighty. I want to speak today, about the beginning of Advent, which is today. We start a new year. The calendar will start on January 1st, but for us in the church, today is the first day of the new year. And Advent happens to be my favorite season. I tend to, when I was a parish priest, I used to wear blue instead of purple. But we don't have a blue set, do we?
No. No, we
haven't. So we have to use the Lent garments as well. But it isn't exactly a little Lent, as the Orthodox call it. It's a time to get ready. It's a time to refresh our understanding of who we are and why we're here and what we are to do. So it's not just to get ready for Christmas with the putting up the tree and all the ornaments and wrapping all the presents and getting ready for a big feast on December 25th. Advent really is a preparation for all of life. So I want to focus on briefly a very important point that keeps coming up in my conversations with people across Europe and beyond. Is when we say the Nicene Creed on Sunday, some people say there's a part I just can't say. I cross my fingers or I just don't say it. He was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. And people are concerned that this is some kind of bit of magic, that Christ should be born of a woman who had never, in her own words, known a man. But the thing is that we need to know is that this isn't a biological trick. Human beings don't do that. And therefore, we need to understand it as it is really meant to be, as one of those living images of the New Testament that gives us an insight into who Jesus really is. Because the whole notion of the virginal conception of Jesus, to use its technical title, isn't about something strange happening, something weird, a monster being created by divine intervention. It has nothing to do with that at all. It means this: Jesus came upon us and among us because God intended it to be so. It wasn't an accident. And what that means, first of all, is neither are you an accident. Your parents might have thought so at the time. But the truth is, as Jesus is incarnate, becomes one of us, becomes truly human, so you too, for the same design of God, are here. And that's, I think, a very crucial thing to remember. So we are here because God has created us to be so. Secondly, Jesus getting born in this way, as it's described in the New Testament, is also to show that his humanity is absolutely one of us. In other words, he could lose his temper. The New Testament records a few instances. He could feel compassion. He could feel love and friendship. And like the rest of us, he needed to trot behind a bush twice a day. He was truly human. And yet, his humanity came among us as the direct will of God, specifically God's Word, sometimes also called the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It all sounds very abstract. Well, it really is. But God came among us to be one of us, to taste humanity. And Jesus came among us and was faithful to that, despite all of his feelings about it, right to the end. So that God would know who we are by becoming one of us, feeling everything that you and I feel, and yet being totally faithful to what God needed to happen. Actually, that's the wrong thing. That's heretical. God did not need for this to happen. God's love for us needed to have this happen. God doesn't need us at all, or the creation for that matter. But seeing us as we are and wanting us to know that we are God's children, that you and I aren't accidents, we're meant to be, and that we are meant to be so that as Christ showed God to the first disciples, so Christ pours out upon us the Spirit that made him one with God, that you and I would become one with God. We become what is known in the Bible as the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Ja, ich müssen sprechen in auf Englisch. Es tut mir leid. I could have prepared it in German, but I need a written text in front of me, and I was taught not to preach from memory, and now I'm losing my place. We are taught, therefore, as the body of Christ, that it is Christ working through you and me now, that while he is truly one of us and truly God, so you and I, in a derivative way, a secondary way, are also children of God, able to do the work that Christ did in his earthly ministry, now carried out through us all. So when we come to, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, as it says in the Creed, we needn't think that this is a biological anomaly. It's not about biology at all. It is about something much more important and much deeper, that we are intended to be, that God loves us now, and that this love has come to help us become aware and to begin to live like the children of God we are. We pray that God's kingdom would come among us, because you and I are the princes and the princesses of that kingdom, to show forth the glory of God in the world, which is the love of God that created it in the first place, that brought you and me into existence along with Jesus, and that has a future for us that cannot be taken away despite all the appearances. Here in a nursing home, it's perhaps good to think of this because, as they say, it's despite the appearances. And yet, the body of Christ continues on this earth and continues in heaven. And you and I, as children of God, always should realize that our future, and in the hard days especially, that our future does belong to God, that you and I are part of the life of God, and nothing can take that away. So have a blessed and quiet and peaceful and lovely Advent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.